DC Talk, episode number 200. We made it. Wow. Okay, we're recording this on Saturday. I have no idea what day it is anymore. Saturday, May 21st, 2022. I am Carrie, and what's this? Mike is here.
Hey, everybody. Hey. Welcome to episode 200. Man, I cannot believe we made it this far.
And I can't people, either.
And the one loyal listener that we have has probably dropped off at episode 3, but we made it to 200. And I'm pretty excited about this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Yeah. So some reminders up at the top here. We are part of the Random Chatter Network. Please check us out at randomchatter.com to check out all of our other shows, membership to Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and our show Merchandise through T Public. And the only reason I couldn't do that in one breath this time is because I was about to sneeze. And we do have a bit of a show announcement as well. So this is episode number 200. We did get there, but we're not canceling the show, guys. But we are going on a bit of a hiatus because I don't know if anyone's what?
Life
has been happening. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but I've pretty much been doing the show all by myself for most of the last 9 months or so.
Yeah.
Mike has popped in a couple of times. I had one person take me up on doing a guest spot, but it's pretty much been me doing everything. And honestly, our news load has not been all that much with DC lately. Possibly because of the merger. Possibly because, well, we don't have a whole lot of shows to talk about much anymore because most of them have been canceled. I'm still bitter.
It's true.
And there's just not a whole lot of stuff.
So yeah, we are going to go on a hiatus, and you know, I'm just going to be as transparent with people as I can. I mean, I'm not going to make up lies or anything. You know, family business has
Mike's
gotten
been
busy.
Fired.
No, yeah, I've been fired. No, family business has just been huge. Right now in my life, family life with you know, three kids and all that kind of thing. So my time for that is gone. My work schedule, I've talked to Carrie a little bit behind the scenes, you know, my workload has increased probably triple from after, you know, the new kid arrived. And it's just, it's one of those things that I know I've pulled back on a lot of shows. It's just, I have this problem, and Carrie's gotten on to me, is that I have these great ideas for podcasts, and then I start them, and then I realize, oh crap, I cannot maintain this right now. Uh-huh. I put too much on me. So uh-huh. I have actually pulled out back of a lot of stuff in a lot of areas of my life, not just podcasting and that kind of thing. I enjoy it. It's just the time I have now is not there for it. And I hate that. I hate that I've left Carrie for so long on so many different things. And she's done an excellent job, you know, keeping it going. So it is what it is, you know. And I don't make excuses. I just it's life. It's life. So we will be back. You know, it may be we may just come back, you know, when a big DC movie comes out. We may pop in for recording, say, hey, let's talk about, you know,
XYZ,
you know, Black Adam, you know, when something like that comes out. Or it may
be Super Pets. We may end up doing an episode on League of the Super Pets because, oh my god, it looks phenomenal.
Right.
And I was not, both of us were, neither of us were like really excited about this movie, and now the trailers are out and we're like,
okay.
Oh, okay. We're in.
Right.
There hasn't been an announcement on DC fandom for this year either, so maybe we'll do something there.
Right. That's very awkward. That we haven't had anything for that yet, but yeah, Carrie's kept the boat afloat, and I appreciated that, and I really did. It's just it's been one of those things. So we love you guys, but we all need breaks,
yeah,
and we all need to rest. So that's but hey, if you want to talk about DC stuff with us, you ought to join us in the Discord.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have our discussion. So if we don't discuss it here, we're definitely going to discuss it there.
Yep, definitely.
So, All right.
All right. So we only have one news topic, but since Mike wasn't here last week, I wanted to make sure he got to weigh in on anything he wanted to talk about. So Mike, take it away. What did you have to talk about?
Well, I did like Dwayne Johnson in Black Adam. I thought that was very awesome. I saw a TikTok of him the other day too, walking in his suit onto the set. Very awesome. Very awesome.
At this point, as I said, I don't even care that Black Adam doesn't have pointed ears. He just looks freaking phenomenal, and I'm trying not to swear. I'm trying not to make your job out harder.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to prophesy here for a second. Ezra Miller will probably get drunk and do something stupid again within the next month. So with that being said, WB, the rumor is they're considering replacing him. Guys, for those who don't know, Ezra Miller likes to get drunk and do stupid things.
I think he's probably just, you know, he's kind of troubled, and he probably needs to get some help.
Oh, I mean, I agree. I think he needs to get help. I don't know if it's because of the acting or what's taken place, but he's gone off the deep end, but he. A lot of times when you see people who drink, to me, like they drink like that, it's because, like you said, there's something there going on and they're trying to conceal that and hide that and bury that. Although that's not the way to handle it. That's the way he seemed to be handling it for a while. So I hope he gets some help. I really do.
Yeah.
Not everyone
deals with fame in a way that is healthy. Yeah.
Right. Other than that, that's, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the movie. There's that. I did hear, by the way, speaking of DC movies, and we don't have to get into this because it's what it is. But they have significantly cut, if not completely cut out, Amber Heard's role in the next Aquaman.
I had heard rumors of that as well. Yeah.
So did hear that. For those who don't know, the trial is going on right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to ignore that as best I can.
Yeah.
At this point, they're both terrible people, and which is sad because I really do like Johnny Depp's body of work, but
I will say that they may both be bad, but only one of them got a really good lawyer for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, as far as I'm skipping one on purpose, I did not see the new Super Pet League of Super Pets trailer, and the only reason I did not see the new League of Super Pets trailer is because the first trailer actually sold me already, and I'm not one who liked this because I don't like Super Pets, but the first trailer actually sold me, so I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to watch anymore. I'm just going to go in there and watch this freaking movie.
Okay, you know what, I recommend that you go back and watch the second trailer, if for no other reasons, like, Crypto is a bit of a douche. I mean, he's dreaming. He's like, no joke, dreaming of throwing Lois into the sun.
That's
yeah,
really
because apparently he's jealous of Lois's relationship with his master.
Oh my! Like,
yeah, it's very, very strange, but I'm sure he will, you know, come around to being a good boy, but at the moment I'm kind of rooting for Ace.
Yeah, I need to go back and watch those trailers, but I'm sold on it. I'm pretty excited about the movie itself. I think it's gonna be great. The Green Lantern Beware My Power trailer came out. I saw that it was only about a minute and a half trailer. And I need to go back and rewatch Man of Tomorrow. That way I kind of remember that storyline.
Yeah, Man of Tomorrow and JSA and...
Right. So yeah. I need to watch that. The new one you had on here is that J.K. Simmons hints at more action for Gordon in the Batgirl show coming to HBO Max.
Yeah.
Not the movie. I'm pretty excited about that.
Me too.
I like J.K. Simmons, and I think Gordon's a phenomenal character, so I think I'm looking forward to that.
I do like that they're keeping that timeline alive in some fashion. We just don't know how. or how that's going to, shake out, as things go on.
Right. I don't know either. But I'm excited that we are getting a Batgirl movie.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's needed, and I love that. Another one that I didn't keep on here, and I probably should have kept on here, was the one that the Wonder Twins movie's been canceled.
Yeah, that was disappointing.
Yeah, that really sucks, because I think that could have been a movie that would have really explored a more of a Super Friends and not much as of a Justice League kind of a setup.
Yeah.
And I really loved the, I can't remember her name now, the girl who was cast as one of the twins. She is phenomenal in 1883, that whole Yellowstone universe. She is phenomenal acting. I never even heard the girl to that show, and I'm like, oh my goodness, where has she been?
Mm-hmm.
So, by the way, did you hear that this is nothing DC, that Harrison Ford and
Helen Mirren,
yes, have been cast in the new Yellowstone universe from the 1930s. I'm like, yes, yes.
I am almost tempted to get into that just for the two now. Of them. I'm not like Eric I don't dislike period stuff. I get kind of bored with like history between like the end of the Civil War and like the 1950s, mostly because, quite frankly, a lot of it has been whitewashed. And I know things are getting a bit better with that now, although
I will say, watch Yellowstone. There's only like four seasons. Then go watch 1883. They do a really good job.
Okay.
They do a really good job. And I will say, in one of the seasons of Yellowstone, our very own Damien Dark
is in
one of the seasons. And it's really good. There's a lot of culture. There's a lot of teaching of Indian culture, Native American culture in there. Mm-hmm. And it's very good the way they do it. So I encourage you to watch it, if nothing else, because Harrison Ford's coming into the 1930s one. You might as well catch up now. So
the idea that the part of Harrison Ford's doing TV is just mind blowing. But okay.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he would sign on to something like this says that the universe is growing. So that's really awesome. So speaking of shows, the last bit of news we have that I hadn't discussed yet is that we've had a lot of cancellations by CW. We kind of knew this was going to happen, partly because of streaming. We also found out that the studio lease, Warner Brothers did not want to renew the lease space where they filmed these TV shows. And there's a lot of other issues going on. We know there's some reshuffling with people, with projects, with media that they have. There's actually talk, believe it or not, that Warner Media may be attempting to buy, for those who like wrestling, maybe buying AEW Wrestling, or at least buying a minority stake in the company.
Huh.
So there's a lot. But with that being said, with the shuffling, Naomi's been canceled. As well, I never even watched the show.
It got really, really good towards the end, and
that's what I heard. So I know Naomi got canceled, Legends got canceled. I was only about seven episodes or six episodes away from finishing that season, along with Batwoman got canceled. Still no word on Stargirl. My suspicions for these shows would be that Stargirl is going to go one more season. I mean, this season coming, and then I think they're going to cancel it after this season.
Yeah.
I think Flash may go to a half season. So there may be, a 12, 13 episode season next time. And Superman and Lois, I can picture them doing one more season as well and then biting that one out. I hate that, but because I think those actors are really good, and what they're doing is really good. But I can see there won't be a CW within the next 5 years.
Oh yeah, I don't think there's going to be. I think CW is going to find itself on the dustbin on top of UPN. And for the if kids, if you don't remember UPN, go ask your parents.
Yes, that's where Smallville came on too, guys. Was UPN?
No, Smallville was well the WB.
Right.
Back when the CW, I remember was UPN, the WB network. I remember. Yeah. Well, UPN was the network that Star Trek Voyager premiered on. That's where all the Star Trek content moved to. That's where Buffy the Vampire Slayer moved to for the last two seasons, which completely
UPN
janked
was,
up.
UPN
like,
was big in the 90s.
Yeah. UPN was, that's where Babylon 5 got moved.
Yeah.
See,
I forgot until, what it was, because I used to watch Kids WB from 8 in the morning till noon, and then right after Kids WB was over, it'd flip over to UPN. And it'd be like more adult, like you said, Star Trek, Babylon 5, those kind of things. So, I mean, I hate that the shows are getting canceled.
I do too, especially because, as I've kind of been saying, you know, all of these networks, you know, in the past few years have been very, very big on promoting how the diversity of their shows, the diversity of their cast. And this is not the only place where, when things get tough, the diversity is the first thing to get jettisoned. And it's very disappointing from that respect. So, I mean, if you look at all the stuff that's sticking around for next season, you've got The Flash, you've got Superman Lois. You've got Kung Fu and All American, which, you know, I guess checks a few boxes. But
is Kung Fu coming back?
Huh? Who?
Is Kung Fu coming back next season?
Kung Fu is coming back for another season. Okay. Nancy Drew got renewed. Riverdale got renewed.
Yeah, but
Walker
this is,
got renewed.
But this is Riverdale's last season coming up. Which
Are you
they
sure about that?
I'm positive. I saw that the other day. They should
oh, final
have
season. Seventh and final season, yeah.
Yep, next year will end with its seventh season.
Roswell is at least getting a fourth and final is at least getting. They've said that this is their fourth and final season, but at least they're getting a season to wrap up. Unlike, Legends and Batwoman.
See, Legacy, Charmed, Dynasty, Naomi, 4400. They all got canceled.
Yep.
They also canceled, like you said, Roswell, New Mexico, In the Dark. They'll air their final seasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
All American Homecoming got renewed.
But I look at this list and there are a lot of, let's just face it, there are a lot of, predominantly white casts.
Yeah.
And it's disappointing.
Yeah. It's just, I think when the merger happened, we knew these things were going to happen anyways. It's just how it happened is where people have an issue.
It's how it happened and what it happened to. And yeah.
Right.
And so, I've seen rumblings on, I think, Netflix and a couple other places where they're reshuffling and the shows with the most diversity are going to where they are too. And it's just like, I'm up on this right now as well, because I just got out of my, we did our my company's all employee meeting yesterday, and we actually have a director of diversity and inclusion, and we have a department that's dedicated to that now. So it's like, once you start to see the pattern, it's hard to not see the pattern anymore.
Yeah.
And it really needs to, you really need to like, That kind of pattern is something that needs to be broken, and I will get off my soapbox for now.
Get off that soapbox and jump on the potato box.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
What does that even mean?
I have no idea. It just sounded good for the moment. It sounded okay. Better in my head than when it came out of my mouth.
Uh huh. Of course.
So. But that's so we thought, that's all of our news. So we thought, though, with it being, episode 200, we've gone on hiatus. We both take a kind of a character archive, and go through and talk about some things. So I know maybe some rumors we hear of people who are potentially coming to some of the Arrowverse shows that are left, or the other DC shows that are on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, that seems to be where everything's going for DC shows. Now you're going to see it's going to be on HBO Max.
I don't object to this. There have been more billboards going up for Save Legends and Save Batwoman all over the country, and I think WB would probably be a bit foolish to not at least consider trying to move those two shows over to HBO Max at some point.
They got more money over there.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd do some character archives. We do a couple. So Carrie picked one, and then I picked one. So Carrie, why don't you start us off with this character, and why did you pick this one?
Well, I'm going to be talking about Todd James Rice, a.k.a. Obsidian, because he's going to be appearing in Season 3 of Stargirl. And I did talk about him a bit in relation to his twin sister, Jenny, when I did the character archive on Jenny Lynn. But Todd's first appearance was in All-Star Squadron number 25 back in September of 1983, created by Roy Thomas and Jerry Ordway. Todd, by the way, was named after a friend of Roy Thomas's. That's all I have on that. That's all the only information I have on that. We did talk a bit about Todd's background when we covered his twin, Jenny Lynn. He is the son of Alan Scott and Rose Canton, a.k.a. the original Green Lantern, and a supervillain named Thorn. Todd, unlike Jenny, was raised in an abusive family up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He and Jenny found out about each other in their late teens. They met and discovered they had superpowers, and then pretty much promptly decided to follow in their father's footsteps. Yay. Right. Yay them. Unfortunately, Todd apparently inherited a potential for mental illness from his mom, and that's going to come into play quite a lot. He was also corrupted by a supervillain known as Ian Karkle. Obsidian turned evil for a while and used his powers to steal the shadows from an entire city, and then to cover the world in darkness. He was defeated by his dad, Alan Scott, and the JSA, and then he retreated to the Shadowlands. See The Shade for more information on the Shadowlands. He later joins up with Eclipso and Mordu, because that's going to end well.
Of course.
Of course. In an attempt to get revenge, but he's defeated again and apparently cured of his mental imbalance. Sometime after this, Todd came out as gay and got involved in a relationship with an assistant DA named Damon Matthews. He's apparently there's not much on that since the rebirth, as far as I know, but up until the 52 New 52 reset, he was happily dating Damon and everything was pretty much cool. For the most part, but there have been problems. Todd's powers also went dormant for a time, but they returned upon Jenny's death in Infinite Crisis. He then goes back to being a superhero. However, sometime after that, when Alan Scott got possessed by the Star Heart, the Justice League and JSA teamed up to try and rescue him. But Obsidian is also taken over by the Star Heart as well, and they disappear. The JSA attempt to enlist the Shade to help get Obsidian back, but they find Obsidian and Dr. Fate standing over the Shade's comatose body. The two knock out the JSA and escape. It's later revealed that Eclipso has been involved with this the entire time, because of course he was.
Mm-hmm.
Jade tries to rescue Obsidian from the Star Heart, but the twins are fused into a hybrid entity under its control. The two are eventually returned to normal when Jenny manages to resist the Star Heart's control and balance the light and darkness within the two of them. that the two of them being Jenny and Todd. Unfortunately, Obsidian becomes paranoid and tries to force the two of them back together. Jade manages to prevent the fusion, but Obsidian has to be held back by Kyle Rayner and is sent far, far away from Jen. Alan Scott is eventually restored to normal, but Jenny and Todd are forced to stay apart to prevent another fusion.
So this carries the idea to me of two things. Number one, the movie Hancock, where he could
except that these are except that these are twins, not involved with each other.
Right, and then the other one I was going to say was like Clark and Lois in Clark and Lana in Smallville.
That's what I was thinking.
Where they have to stay away from each other on purpose.
Yeah, so. and quite frankly, a lot of the powers attributed to Obsidians kind of sound a bit like ravens.
Okay.
So speaking of that, powers, weapons, and abilities, Obsidian has various shadow-based powers, apparently stemming from Alan Scott's exposure to a shadow entity after a battle with Ian Karkle. Obsidian is connected to the Shadowlands and can merge with his own shadow.
Hmm.
He can also possess the shadows of others in his shadow form. Obsidian can fly. And is stronger than he is in human form and can pass through solid objects.
I'm just thinking of Peter Pan at the moment. The shadow of others, taking shadows. I just
there's a bit of a problem with that. So after being corrupted by the Shadowlands, Obsidian can control the his shadow powers and make himself grow to enormous sizes. Like his father and sister can do with green energy, create constructs. However, Obsidian also has some limited telepathic abilities. He can force people to see the evil sides of their souls, which has been known to drive people insane. Although this is kind of cool, during Crisis on Infinite Earths, Obsidian discovers that he's resistant to low amounts of antimatter. While he's in shadow form, he can hurt the antimatter demons, shadow demons, that the anti-monitor creates, and the antimatter demons can't hurt him.
Okay, well, that could be helpful.
That can be helpful, yes. Weaknesses, well, Todd has a long history of mental illness.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a pretty big weakness right there. Also something not at all disparaging that at all, but, you know, he was also abused as a child, so, you know, there's all the mental baggage that comes with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Notable groups, Justice Society of America and Infinity Inc. He and Jenny were founding members as Infinity Inc. was a group comprised of the children and grandchildren of legacy superheroes. Notable storylines from the comics, Crisis on Infinite Earths, Brightest Day, Infinite Crisis, and Dark Knight's Death Metal.
Sounds like a rock band.
I did sound like a rock band. I have not read that. I have not read that crossover yet, but I need to.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. As far as appearances in media goes, Obsidian has had several non-speaking appearances on Justice League Unlimited. He was played by Lance Hendrickson on Legends of Tomorrow in Season 2. And a younger version of Obsidian was played by Dan Payne, but had no speaking lines. And he will be played by Tim Gabriel in Season 3 of Stargirl, which is coming up sometime eventually. They haven't released a premiere date for Stargirl yet.
We have no idea. So.
But that is Obsidian, a.k.a. Todd, a.k.a., you know, Jenny's twin. Yeah. And hopefully we will see some good things from him soon.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right. So the one I picked was one I could not believe we had done, that we have not done before. And there's a rumor that although we know Brother Blood is coming to Superman and Lois.
Titans,
I'm sorry. There is a rumor that Doomsday will be coming to Superman and Lois.
I mean, is rumor. He though? Because they already kind of did the fake out.
Right. So you know the real one's on the horizon if they do the fake out. I mean, we know.
Okay. Sure.
So now where they're doing the storyline, we don't know how they're going to go with it. But a lot of people, I wanted to Doomsday anyways, because a lot of people confuse Darkseid with Doomsday. They are two completely different people. Okay.
As opposed to the people who confuse Darkseid with Thanos.
Yes, Darkseid's better. We know he's stronger.
Yeah.
But Darkseid is the god. I mean, is a god. Doomsday is a, well, you'll find out here in a second. Doomsday was created by Dan Jurgens, Brett Breeding, Jerry Ordway, Louis Simonson, and Roger Stern. He first appeared in Superman Man of Steel number 17, November 1992. It was kind of like a cameo, and then Man of Steel number 18 was his actual, like, first, boom, who is this guy? A lot of the story of Doomsday from New 52 and all them doesn't really change much, but the one we get here was kind of the one that we saw in Krypton.
On Krypton? Okay.
Yes, which I was shocked, by the way. You've not done it. We haven't done a profile on Lobo. I'm just saying. Doomsday's father, quote-unquote, was an emotionless alien named Bertron, a geneticist who arrived on Krypton several hundred thousand years ago when lethal and deadly monsters roamed the world. He was obsessed with creating a creature that could survive any environment and even cheat death itself. Bertron subjected his test tube infant to Krypton's harsh landscape and its savage, hungry denizens, using the best of the surviving genes to improve his next clone's creation. Now, remember, on Krypton, it wasn't a baby, it was an actual person who agreed to go with the procedure.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, so
because,
first...
Because experimenting on babies these days is generally considered a bad thing.
So firstly, the baby was killed in seconds by the poisonous atmosphere. Then Bertron ordered his troops to collect the remaining tissues in order to continue it. Each day, a new infant was cloned from the preceding one. The baby died either because of the planet's poisonous atmosphere or high temperatures. Tests were performed over and over. After 10 years of scientific experiments, Bertron noted that the baby was evolving, mastering the life's need to survive. At some point in time, the infant conquered the environment, spending more than several hours in the atmosphere without dying, but was set upon by the lethal beast that inhabited the planet. After another set of experiments, Doomsday managed to survive outside the laboratory for 2 years. He killed every single monster on the planet during that time. Doomsday was intended to be the perfect being and live forever using induced evolution to defy death. It finally reached the point where Bertron wasn't needed to revive him through cloning. Though it cost him his life, Bertron succeeded in altering the ultimate life form's DNA so that the creature could regenerate each time he was killed. Furthermore, Doomsday would then evolve an immunity to whatever caused his demise. Unfortunately, Doomsday was subjected only to death from all things. This led to the ultimate being to grow a hatred for all living things. Thus, we see why he always kills and kills and kills. Doomsday escaped Krypton and went on a killing spree across several planets. He began this crash landing on Bylon 5, a planet where Darkseid was about to wed a princess. Of course, not become love, but in order to obtain a plant's chemical deposits for Apocalypse weapon factories.
Of course, because this is Darkseid we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Just as the two were about to meet in combat, Darkseid was forced to flee as the battle had caused the planet's atmosphere to become toxic and therefore worthless to Apocalypse. And Doomsday would escape, though. So, anyways.
Yeah.
That's just a little bit of background of Doomsday. His powers and weapons, he's a very unique physiology. He's energy resistant, accelerated heating, adaptation, superhuman strength, and vulnerability, self-sustenance, superhuman stamina, speed, bone protrusions, telescopic visions, and telepathic immunity. We see a lot of this take place in the Death of Superman movie, as well as BVS.
Yeah.
Yep, you see a lot of this stuff coming to play with Doomsday. Of course, in that time, BVS, Doomsday was created from Zod and Luther combining their DNA. Okay. Anyways, his weaknesses: entropy and single-mindedness. In other words, he has one thing on his mind: kill everything living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he's got. He was part of the secret... He was only part of one group in his time, the Secret Society of Supervillains 3.
Okay. Course. Because he probably killed everything.
Right.
They probably couldn't handle him killing everything in sight.
Right. And some interesting trivia, he's also known as the ultimate life form. And Zack Snyder confirmed during a watch party at Man of Steel on social media site Vero that the broken moon visible during Jor-El's journey to the Citadel was in fact destroyed by the real Doomsday, created by Krypton, an Easter egg for a later appearance, thus confirming that the real Doomsday is alive and out in the universe.
Well, that's also, that was also what happened in on Krypton in season two.
Mm-hmm. So we know that the Doomsday, quote unquote, that was killed in BVS was not the real Doomsday. One. So the real Doomsday is still available with Zack Snyder. I mean, he's going to come back and finish movies anyways. We know he will one day.
Will he, though?
He will.
We live in hope, but I mean,
yeah.
With everything else getting canceled, I'm starting to lose hope here.
Right. So some most notable comic book storylines he was in. He was obviously the big one we know him in is his Death of Superman. And then he was in Our Worlds at War, pretty much in this one, Lex Luthor Suicide Squad released Doomsday so they can battle Imperiex.
Because that was a good idea.
And then once they released Doomsday, he slaughtered the squad.
Of course he did.
Of course. And went on to battle the numerous probes of Imperiex. He tore through. Superman, and the reason I put this one here is because at one point, Doomsday and Superman did team up in this one.
Boy.
To destroy Imperiex. Imperiex did prove too much and blasted him, reducing him to a creature of glowing skeleton. The other one I got on here is the Supergirl from Krypton. Darkseid would attempt to replicate Doomsday and produce an army of Doomsday clones, as one would. He was not able to duplicate it properly because of his raw power, because of the complex of the DNA. And they were defeated by a combination of heat vision eventually and Batman's explosive boomerangs during an attack on Paradise Island, while Darkseid went to kidnap the newly arrived Supergirl.
Mm-hmm. As one does.
Yes. The reign of Doomsdays would be after his death by the Kryptonians. Doomsday would come back to life. Obviously, he has more power than ever. His journey will start with steel, and Doomsday would eventually manifest metallic steel armor and bone protrusions that boosted his durability and gave him the power of flight. Appearances in media. He appeared in Smallville, portrayed by Dario Delacio.
Wasn't Krypton. Sam Witwer proto?
Yes.
Proto Doomsday in Smallville?
Yes. Dario okay. was after everything was on him.
Okay.
So
I just had to make sure that was yes. in there, because I mean it's Sam Witwer, he's awesome.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's more.
I didn't put him.
That's okay.
But yeah. Krypton, he was in Krypton. Staz Nair played Dax Barron, who was experimented into Doomsday in a flashback episode of Krypton. And then a DCAU, he's voiced by Michael J. White. And then Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, his voice and motion was provided by Robin Atkin Downs.
Nice.
For Doomsday. So, very interesting cool. creeper, wonderful creature. So loving, kind. Look at the flowers. He likes the flowers.
Mike, are you okay?
Yes. So good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and next time we have one of these episodes, I will definitely have to remember I need to do Lobo. I cannot believe Lobo has not been done.
I've added him to the list.
Good. He needs to be added. Lobo yes. is a hero among men.
Well, he's something. He's the main man.
Oh. All right. Well, that's all I got, Carrie.
Yeah, that's all I've got. Mike, it's been a fabulous 200 episodes.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? I've missed recording with you every week, but again, life happens. Yes. And we like I said, we're not going away. At least not going away permanently. We're just going to be more sporadic, much like the DC News has been lately. And no, I'm not bitter.
And it may be, look, it may be one of those where we can't get together, but maybe some big news drops out and Carrie's, you know, messaged me and says, hey, I just recorded like a 5-minute thought on just big news that just dropped down, or I might just do it, and we'll just put, we'll keep something coming out.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We don't know. But hey, it's been great 200 episodes. And until next time, everybody, stay safe out there.
Yeah.
Treat each other with kindness. Help one another.
Yes.
Be there for one another. And don't put Twinkies on your pizza. It don't work right at the end.
Why would you even suggest that?
I don't know. I just making sure they don't do it.
I mean, I'm not going to promote.
I will say this. If you like Jordan Calloway, there is a new show coming this fall. I don't remember the name of it yet. I sent it to Carrie in the chat.
Yeah, I can find it real quick.
It's about wildfires in California.
That hits a bit too close to home. Right. Fire Country.
Fire Country, yeah. So Jordan Calloway, for those who don't remember, was Painkiller.
Yep.
And Black Lightning.
And Kevin Alejandro is also in this, who was Brother Blood in the Arrowverse. So.
And then Burke, I can't remember his tell me his name. I can't remember his name.
I don't know.
Is it Billy Burke? I don't remember.
You're gonna make me look this up, aren't you?
Probably. Yes, Billy Burke. He played he was known for playing Charlie Swain in Twilight. And he was also in Revolution, and he starred in the CBS show too. Yeah. Yeah, he's also going to be in this as well. So, and he voiced James Gordon in Batman the Long Halloween parts 1 and 2.
Oh, neat.
So,
there's your watch recommendation from Mike. And we'll talk to you again sometime.
Hang on, I got one more watch recommendation. Guys, this is Movie Heaven Week. This is like Entertainment Media Week. This is the week that not only the Star Wars celebration occur, but this is also the very week that Kenobi comes out, Stranger Things 4 Volume 1 comes out, and Top Gun Maverick comes out. So don't say you don't have anything to watch. Go watch something. There you go. Done. I'm done giving opinions to go watch stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so. All right, guys. Thank you.
Okay.
And until next time, peace out and goodbye.
Bye, guys.